The gospel lesson for consideration this evening is from John chapter 18. Please stand out of respect for the words and works of Jesus. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. And Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they said. Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. If you are looking for me, then let these men go." This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. St. Matthew's Lutheran Church has a preschool attached to it, and so every Tuesday, the preschool gets to go on a little bit of a field trip. They go to a Cook County Forest Preserve. It's called Harms Woods. And for about 2 hours every morning on Tuesday, those preschool students get a chance to poke at bugs and to dig in the dirt and to just enjoy God's creation. A few weeks ago, I got to go with them, and there was a few feet of snow on the ground yet. It was warm out, and so it was good snowball packing weather. I grabbed a big snowball, and I started rolling it, and it got bigger, and it got bigger, and it got bigger, and soon it caught the eye of some of those preschool students, and they said, "Pastor, can we help?" I grabbed them all around. They said, "Pastor, let's make it as big as we possibly can." So we gathered around, and it was on one, on two, on three. We heaved it, we moved it one more big roll, and it got as big as we possibly could make it. But I stepped back, and I looked, and I looked at where those little handprints had been. A five-year-old pair of handprints was pushing on the snowball, and I had wanted it to go that way, but clearly those handprints were pushing that way because there was some little mini snowballs on the ground where that well-meaning student had just pushed stuff off to the side. I looked, and I saw handprints on either side. One student had been pushing this way, and the ball was trying to go that way. It just pushed and equaled each other out. Another one, as I walked around the snowball, I noticed that an unfortunate student, he was laughing, but he had gotten in the way, and his leg was stuck. He needed to be rescued. They had every intention of helping, right? But they did more harm than good. As I was reading through John chapter 18, I wonder if that's how you might think about what Peter was trying to do. As they saw that small army coming to them, and Jesus spoke great words to broker a great deal of surrender so that those disciples could go free, Peter pulled out a sword and cut off an ear. He had these hands that were full of zeal to help, but it was misguided, right? He had every intention to help, but he did a whole lot more harm than good. As I walk through this text this evening, that's a thing to think about as you and I think about our relationship with God. Peter was standing right there with God right next to him with every intention to help, but when Peter decided to take control, he did a whole lot more harm than good. When you and I walk through our life, God right there next to us, when we try to take control, we tend to do a lot more harm than good. You know, if I were telling you this story from a different perspective, from the account of Matthew, Mark, or Luke, you wouldn't have gotten this information that Peter was the guy to pull out the sword. But if I were telling you that story and I said, okay, so they were in the garden, they took this little field trip, and they saw this small army come at Jesus, and Jesus brokered a great surrender, and then a disciple reached for his sword and pulled it out and cut off an ear. It's at that moment where you might groan And you might think, oh yeah,
it was Peter, wasn't it?
Because you know Peter's track record. Peter had a track record of trying to help with those zealous hands, but then they were misguided, and he did a little bit more harm than good. There was a time that Jesus asked his disciples, he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter was quick to say, "Well, you are the Messiah. Let me help. Let me tell everybody who you are." But then Jesus began to teach about exactly who that Messiah would be and what he had to do. He said, "Yeah, you're right. The Messiah has to suffer and be rejected and even die." And Peter, I think he thought he was helping, he took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. "Don't say these things." Another time, Peter and his companions were in a boat and they saw a man walking on the water. And Peter wanted to help. He said, "Lord, if it's you, let me come out to you." He jumped in the water and he took a few steps. Then Peter, like those two students pushing on either side of that big snowball, he got in his own way. His faith in the Lord fell as he saw the wind and the waves. He was trying to help his companions figure out if this was the Lord, and he had every intention to help, but he did more harm than good. The Lord had to reach out and save him and pull him in the boat. Another time, Peter was in an upper room with Jesus, and Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, all of you are going to fall away." Peter said, "Surely not I, Lord. I'd rather die than desert you." And before the rooster crowed, Peter had denied him three times. Why is it that Peter had such great intentions of helping, but instead he harmed? When I was in Harms Woods with those students, it was pretty clear who was in control of where that snowball was going to go. If I wanted to push it this way, it was going to go that way. If I wanted to push it that way, it was going to go that way. It's pretty clear, as Peter is standing next to Jesus, who is in control. Especially this night in the garden. If you were listening, you know that those soldiers came to Jesus, and Jesus says, "Who is it that you want?" They say, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus says, "I am he." And then with what happened next, it's very clear, if there's any doubt in your mind, with what happened next, it's very clear who is in control. Because you know what happened? That small army drew back and they fell on their knees. Not with the power of God coming from the clouds. Not with Jesus pulling out a sword and him having to bring them to their knees. Simply with the word of the power and the word of Jesus, he was able to bring a small army to their knees. There's no question who was in control. And you keep reading, and those soldiers, they gathered themselves, and they came after Jesus again, and Jesus again asked, "Who is it that you want?" And they said, "It's Jesus of Nazareth." And then Jesus had the words. In his all knowledge, all perfect knowledge that he had the right words to say to broker a surrender so that those disciples could go away to fulfill a prophecy that he wouldn't lose a single one of them. Jesus had all the power, and he had all the knowledge, and Peter was standing right there. He knew, he should have known, who was in control. And yet, Peter pulled out a sword and cut off an ear. As you and I go through our lives, we know who's in control. You know of God's power, and you know of God's knowledge. And yet, you and I like to reach for our sword and pull it out and take control. Sometimes it shows up like this. You and I reach for our sword and pull it out and think, you know, if we could only just cut out all of the bad leaders and bad politicians we have, and if these new ones that we could maybe elect, they could just pass the right laws, then Christianity would be in control. And we forget who put everybody in place. We forget that God's in control. Sometimes you and I reach for the sword and we pull it out, and it goes past trying to take control of the world, but it turns into trying to take control of my own mind. You and I think, you know, if only I could find the right podcasts to listen to, if I could only read the right books that would help me out, if I could only get the right content here, then all that anxiety and all that struggle would just be gone. I could cut it out. Maybe the most detrimental one is when you and I reach for the sword and we think, you know, if I could just be better, if I could just take the sword and cut off this hand that causes me to sin, if I could just take this sword and cut out these eyes that cause me to sin, if I could just take this sword and cut out that part of my mind that goes to a dark place, if I, then everything would just be better. When Peter pulled out that sword and cut off an ear, Jesus responded. Jesus said, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup my Father has given me?" Because Jesus was on a mission. He was rolling that snowball down, and it needed to get a whole lot bigger, and Jesus had a great cup to drink. He had to take hands that were guided by love and stretch them out on a cross. Is that a cup that Peter could drink? Jesus had to take those hands that were guided by love, and they needed to be pierced for our sins. Is that a cup that you can drink? Jesus had to take those hands that were guided by love and stretch them out on a cross and die and say, "It is finished," so your sin could be forgiven. Is that a cup you and I can drink? Put your sword away, because Jesus is the all-powerful God who drank the cup. Put your sword away, because Jesus is the all-forgiving Savior who drank the cup. Put your sword away, because Jesus is the all-loving, all-knowing, all-powerful Lord that you and I needed, who drank the cup. Put that sword away. Know that Jesus, with his loving hands, were guided to the cross and guided to you. Amen.